Today we're joined by Bishop John Hine, Auxiliary Bishop of Southwark and Chair of the Bishop's Committee for Marriage and Family Life. Thanks for joining us today, Bishop John.
Good to be with you.
Well, let's now talk about your ministry and the work you do for the Bishop's Conference and beyond, of course. We're going to talk marriage and family life, and we're going to particularly talk National Family Week, which is the 25th to the 31st of May this year. What would be your message to Catholic families in England and Wales at this time of the year?
So I'm very delighted that the National Family Week is being launched with a call to celebrate family, because that's what we in the project of the Bishop's Conference Marriage and Family Life Committee are very involved with, the project called Celebrating Family, Blessed, Broken, Living Love. And that does recognise the importance of taking time to celebrate the blessings of family life. You know, families told us that the time they spend together and the love that they share is the really important things. I was just travelling up on the train this morning, and there was a family, because they're not at school at the moment, in the train near me, and just looking at the way they related to each other, the little looks, the little conversations that went on, the jokes, the smiles, and you could see that they just belonged to each other, and that they, it would be entirely different if any one of those was travelling on their own, entirely different. And that's the core, I think, of the joy, really, of family life, that sort of belonging and sharing.
That quite uniqueness of the family dynamic.
Mm.
Well, let's talk a bit about what the Catholic Church is doing. I mean, it's obviously a nationwide thing, an ecumenical thing as well. What is the Church doing for National Family Week?
On our website, we've got various things that are, I think, helpful in this respect. There are some simple flyers that people can download from our website and from the National Family website. And two of them offer very simple, very inexpensive ideas just for family fun, you know, days in, days out together. And parishes and schools can download these flyers and can distribute them, or perhaps just take one or two ideas out of them to insert into a newsletter. The crux of it is that it's important to encourage families to spend time having fun together, you know? And the third flyer that we've produced explains further the whole concept of holiness in our homes. When we did the consultation at the beginning of our project, again and again we found that families always recalled special occasions in their family life when they were together, when they were enjoying themselves together. Those are the bits that really stuck in their memories. And I think so often that families have to nowadays try and create memories for themselves, to really try and set about planning the way that they're going to enjoy themselves together in a way that everybody's included and everyone matters. And in that way, particularly youngsters will grow up with those happy memories, those special occasions.
Now, you're clearly very passionate about the areas of marriage and family life. That comes through very strongly. What is it that sparked that passion for marriage and family life?
I think when I was first a priest and I was in the parish, I copied something that I'd seen some or heard of somewhere else, which was family groups. And we would get together a number of families who would meet in their homes, and the parents, really, of an evening would sit and we would talk and discuss. Very often they were social issues or issues of faith, because the Vatican Council was going on at the time. But the subtext was always these were families sharing together, and therefore the concerns, the interests, the positive things, the problems all surfaced during these. And it was listening to that, I think, above all, which made me realise that I had so much to learn, really, from these people, so much to understand about what real love means and the demands and challenges of it. It was from there, I think, that I thought, well, I really, these people are the real basic cells of our church, and they're also, you know, as families, very much involved in the future of our church, and therefore they should be our priority.
Tell me a bit about the key priorities of marriage and family life, particularly with respect to the major project of celebrating family, blessed, broken, and living love.
Yes, this sprung out of a consultation, really, that we had right at the beginning, because we said the first thing we have to find out is what is it that families want of their church? And when we know that, then at least we've got something to work to which is relevant for them. And it was quite scary in a way, because you never knew what was going to come out of this. But consistently across the country, we found that there were three priorities, really. And the first one was that they wanted family-friendly parishes, parishes which were really sensitive to the needs of a family today. And there were all sorts of ways in which people expressed this. And it was particularly people who in some ways felt marginalised, or their families being marginalised, or a member of their family being marginalised, that came through to us most strongly, I think. And that's why eventually we prepared a whole series of leaflets which gave an experience on one part of the leaflet of what's it like to be a parishioner, you know, with this particular aspect. Maybe it's somebody who has a disability or whatever it might be. What is it that they experience or don't experience in their parish life? And then finally, the third bit, well, what can we do about it? And what resources are there to help us in a parish? It's a tool, really, for parishes to use when they're looking at how family-friendly are we really. And when you look at all the leaflets together, you're covering most of the main spectra of your parishioners.
So let's talk about the three key priorities there. Everybody's mm-hmm. welcome, home is a holy place, and passing on the faith. Mm-hmm. Tell me about those three.
The first step is that question of welcoming, which is not something which we can do once and for all. We can't examine our parish and say we are a welcoming parish, full stop. We've got to go on being a welcoming parish, and we've got to keep on working at it. Sometimes I think parishes says, well, we're a very friendly parish. And what they mean is that those who come there, those who are part of the core membership of the parish, are indeed very friendly, but they haven't really seen it from the aspect of someone who's on the edge. And that's where we constantly need to be looking if we're going to examine whether we are friendly or not and open to people. Home is a holy place, really, is about seeing, knowing and responding to God's presence at home with our families. So often people, I fear, think of religion as something you do in church on Sundays, and there's very little real understanding that actually they are living a spirituality in their own homes every day of the week, and it's in the ordinary events of our everyday lives, the deep joys, the sorrows that they experience together. It's in their relationships with each other, you know, whether it's children, siblings, parents, whatever it may be, spouses, friends or neighbours, you know. It's in all those relationships, really, that their holiness is found. I always say, you know, right at the heart of Christianity is the sacrifice of Christ, isn't it, on the cross. And if you look for where do you find most sacrifice in our society today, I'll bet it's in the family. Families sacrifice themselves for each other enormously, put each other first. Oh, there are exceptions, there are sadness, and, you know, there are breakdowns and so on. That is true, and we have to be very, very sensitive to that. But if you really want to look at the spirituality, you find it, I think, in that ability to sacrifice because of love for each other. And but so often people don't recognize that. Families would say, we're not spiritual. You know, we have rows, we have arguments. And yet, when you really look at their lives, they are profoundly spiritual, if only they knew it.
Well, then, of course, brings us on to the very important aspect of passing on our faith, quite literally. Mm. We're all called to be evangelists, of course. Mm. Tell us a little bit about that premise.
Yes, this is a slightly more difficult one, but we did hear very continuously from people that there was a huge sadness centering about children or grandchildren growing up and not really espousing our faith, not really living that in the sense of being church-going. And yet they always said that nonetheless they are good people and they do all sorts of good things, and there's a lot of goodness in them. This was a constant refrain there. And so we had to listen to the sadness, and we had to say, well, what can we as a church do to help about passing on the faith? And really, we can't, as the Marriage and Family Life Committee, do an enormous amount on our own, but we can do a lot together with other departments of the Bishops' Conference. And that's what we're really trying to do. First of all, we want to ensure that the place of the parents as the first educators of their children is sort of not only recognised, but respected, and that they are helped, that we look for resources and ways to help them to undertake this, because it can be a very lonely place sometimes, particularly if you've got, say, one parent who's a Catholic, one who isn't. It can be quite lonely. People don't understand sometimes how difficult it can be to fulfill a role as the first educator of your children if you find yourself on your own, you know?
Well, it's tough, isn't it, if let's say, dad doesn't go to church, and of course, when your boys perhaps hit their teenage years, well, dad's not going, why do I have to go? It's a difficult thing to get around, isn't it?
It is difficult, yes. And therefore, that's where we need to help most, I think. And that's where we need to work with others who are involved in the Catholic schools, in the adult education, all of these people. We need to look at this together, I think, from the family aspect.
Well, let's talk about home being pivotal to that. And, of course, we've had Home is a Holy Place DVD resources and packs, which is superb. Tell me a little bit about that and the sort of feedback you've had from that.
I think, in some ways, that Home is a Holy Place pack with the DVD is already proving to be a very powerful instrument. In all things, we try to constantly evaluate to see how things are working so that we can learn from them. And it really has been a delight to listen to people who have used this in the way that they have gained from it. The resource seems to have worked with all sorts of age groups, from children of 10 years old at a Dawson Vocations Day to over 70s at a parish afternoon club. You know, they've all said, ah, that's good. Just great to see that. And it opened my eyes to something, you know. And it's also reported to have worked really well with people on the margins of the church, people perhaps who are just thinking about returning. Because what it does is it affirms them as they are. You know, they can see that actually they haven't been far from the love of God at all, because they haven't been in church. It also, I believe, works well across language barriers, because it's very visual, and it has, I believe, been used quite effectively with asylum seeker and refugee families. It's used very often in connection with sacramental preparation programs at baptism, first reconciliation, first Eucharist, confirmation, even marriage. And once again, when it's inserted in the right way and discussion ensues, people have said it really is a good trigger, and it gets people really thinking deeply and opens their eyes to something they hadn't really understood was part of the church's teaching. And so in that way, I think it's been used with intergenerational groups, groups of married couples, parents, young people all together. And it's actually been used also, I believe, by groups with special needs and their families. Once again, works because it's visual.
In the sense that we're living in an increasingly secular society, what kind of effect do you think this is having on families in England and Wales, and how, of course, do we make our voice heard in affirming them?
It is, in some respects, a secular society, all right, isn't it? Because we can name some of the particular facets of society which sit uneasily with our beliefs, particularly that individualism that is there. But underneath, what we also can see in our society today is a great thirst for spirituality. Now, quite often, it is seen through the individualist lens, if you like, and so people try and pick and choose or create their own sort of religion, if you like, for themselves. But nonetheless, the reality of that thirst for spirituality is there, and it is an opportunity for us, I think. How does it affect families? There is that part of our society which, the secular society, which emphasizes choice, that everyone has a right to make their own choices. And in that sense, you do find people sometimes pick and choose what they want to out of our faith, rather than accepting that this is something which is all part of Christ's revelation, and it's all part of the big picture of how he wants to live and be and to be fulfilled here and hereafter. And it's really, I think, that is sometimes the problem. But nonetheless, I do believe that that thirst for spirituality that is there is something we can tune into and help people to travel on the journey and to see how the gospel is really, truly good news.